Our gospel reading this morning is from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. You've all heard this reading before. Normally, it's called the parable of the Good Samaritan, but not today. Today, I want you to listen to it from a different perspective. Listen to the parable of the man in the ditch. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law?" "What do you read there?" he answered. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. As I said, the story of the Good Samaritan is not a new story to most of us. In fact, we've probably heard it dozens of times, and each time we are told we need to act like the Samaritan. We need to reach out to those in need. We need to help them, even if we really don't know them or don't like them. But today, I want you to take a different view. I want you to put yourself in the man in the ditch's shoes, the man who was beaten and robbed. From the perspective of the man in the ditch, the story offers something very different, and maybe asks a more important question than whether you are willing to help. Are you willing to be saved? Think of yourself as the Jew who has been beaten and robbed and left to die in a ditch. You see 2 men, supposedly your friends, pass by, yet they walk on the other side of the road to avoid you. And then you look down the road and see an absolutely horrible sight. You see a Samaritan is approaching you. What's wrong with a Samaritan approach you? Why is it so bad? Because Jews and Samaritans didn't just dislike each other, they hated each other. The hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans was fierce, and it was long-standing. The Samaritans were a people who lived in what had been the northern kingdom of Israel. Samaritans were a racially mixed society with both Jewish and pagan ancestry. Although they worshipped Yahweh, as did the Jews, their religion was not mainstream Judaism. In some respects, they were stricter than the Jews about the commands of Mosaic law, but they did not share the Jewish structure. Because of what was believed to be their imperfect adherence to Judaism and their partly tainted pagan ancestry, the Jews did not welcome them. Over time, the Samaritans became despised by ordinary Jews. As an example, back in those days, transportation was quite limited. But Jews, rather than contaminate themselves by passing through Samaritan territory, would travel from Judea to Galilee by crossing over the River Jordan to bypass Samaria, and then cross back over the river again as they neared their destination. They did not want to put one foot on Samaritan land. At the end of the days, Jews wanted absolutely no dealings with Samaritans. But there you are. You're a Jew. You're in the ditch. You're dying. And here comes a Samaritan. Not only would you, as the injured man, not expect any help from one of these despicable Samaritans, you probably wouldn't want any help from a Samaritan. Better to die in a pool of blood on the road than to be touched by a Samaritan. But it is this Samaritan, despised and rejected, who nevertheless, moved with compassion and tenderly cares for you, the injured man. Even though they were enemies, the Samaritan cared for him. And maybe more importantly, the man let himself be cared for. In today's society, there are many examples of hatred similar to this Jewish Samaritan hatred. It is present wherever people are divided by racial and ethnic barriers. Look around the world today. Aren't people put down and condemned not because of who they are, but because of where they come from? It is not the person from the radically different culture on the other side of the world that is hardest to love. It's the nearby neighbor whose skin color or language or rituals or values or ancestry or history or beliefs or customs are different from our own. Let's put this in a modern context. You're suffering from kidney failure. You need a transplant. If you don't get a transplant, you will die. The medical system takes blood samples, puts them in a computer database, and they find only one person with a match who is actually willing to donate a kidney. You find out that that person is very different from you. They're a different race, or a different religion, or a different sexual orientation. Someone so different from you that you would never look at them as a friend. Maybe not an enemy, but not far from it. Would you accept their kidney? A part of their inner being? Which they wanted to give you to save your life. What would you do? Well, people often puzzle over what motivates a person to act as a Samaritan did. An important clue as to how such an action is possible emerges when we take into account how the first hearers of this scripture story were not Christians. They were Jews. Christ hasn't died yet. There is no Christians. They're just Jews. Usually when Christians retell the parable, we hear it as the one who is told every Sunday to go out and help those in need, to act as the Samaritan did. The point appears to be, do good to your neighbor, even if the one in need is a hated enemy. But remember, the original audience for Jesus' parable would have been Jews, would have identified as being the man in the ditch. It's the ordinary Jewish person on an ordinary little trip who winds up in the ditch. Jesus is saying, it's somebody like you. Why? It is you. You are the man or the woman in the ditch. Are you willing to concede that people unlike you may prove to be redemptive for you? From whom are you willing to accept help? From whom are you willing to learn? The story, the parable of the Good Samaritan, is really two separate stories. Viewed from the road, it's a story of encouragement to reach out to those who are lost and hurting, the way Jesus did throughout his ministry, the way we do in our better moments. But the same story when viewed from the ditch, where all of us have been at one time or another, takes on a very different character. It asks an even more profound question. Do you understand how God might be using someone you never imagined to teach you and to make you new? Robert Wuthnow is a professor at Princeton University, and he once conducted some research about why some people are generous and compassionate. He found that for many compassionate people, something had happened to them in their lifetime. Someone had acted with compassion toward them, and this experience had transformed their lives. They had accepted help from others, and now they wanted to pay it forward. Wuthnow tells the story of Jack Casey. Jack was a rescue squad worker. He had little reason to be a good Samaritan. Casey was raised in a tough home, the child of an alcoholic father. He once said, "All my father ever taught me is that I didn't want to grow up to be like him." But something happened to Jack when he was a child that changed his life. He was having surgery one day as a child, and he was frightened, as any child would be. He remembers a nurse, a total stranger, standing there and reassuring him, "Don't worry. I'll be right here beside you no matter what happens." And when Jack woke up again, she was there, true to her word. Years later, Jack Casey became a paramedic, and he was sent to the scene of a highway accident. A stranger was pinned upside down in his pickup truck. And as Jack was trying to get him out of the wreckage, gasoline was dripping down on both of them. The rescuers, using tools to try to cut the metal, trying to avoid a spark, because one spark would have caused everything to go up in flames. The driver was frightened, crying out how scared he was of dying. He had no idea who Jack was, but Jack remembered what had happened to him so long ago on the operating table, how that nurse had spoken tenderly to him and stayed with him, and he said and did the same thing for the truck driver. "Don't worry. You may not know me, but I'm right here with you, and I'm not going anywhere." When he said that, he was reminded of how the nurse had said the same thing and had never left him. We are helpless to be good Samaritans on our own strength. In other words, we're the person in the ditch, the one who lies helpless and wounded beside the road, the one who needs to be rescued. And along comes a good Samaritan by the name of Jesus. Jesus, despised and rejected, who comes to save us, who speaks tenderly to us, who lifts us into his arms and takes us to the place of healing. As Paul said, "While we are still God's enemies, God saw us in the ditch and had compassion. God sent Jesus to save us." When God decided to redeem the human race, he sent someone who was unexpected. He sent a man named Jesus, whose teaching challenged the complacency of religious thought of the time, and whose death was an embarrassment to the Jewish nation. He was the one of whom Isaiah said, "He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." The human race asked for help, and God sends redemption in the form of a crucified Jew. Jesus was not a friend of the upper class. Jesus hung out with prostitutes, with tax collectors, with the lower rung of the social ladder. Why would the Jewish leadership ever accept him as their savior? For that matter, if we had a person like that in our society today, would we ever look up to him for salvation? He was not a person who would readily fit into our society. He was not a person that we would have looked at for help if we were hurting and bleeding in a ditch. But that is the person who reached out his hand to pull us from the ditch, to save our lives, to forgive our sins. We are all in ditches. And Christ is still there, reaching out his hand to us to save us. Will we take his hand? When we find ourselves lying in the road, half dead, Jesus, the divine Samaritan, is moved with pity for us. He won't pass us by. He will stop. He shows us mercy when no one else will. He shows us mercy every day. But that mercy is not cheap. It cost God's Son his life to be our Savior. That's what it took to bandage and heal our wounds. It took the rule of mercy, not the rule of judgment, to save you and to save me. The question is this a mercy you can accept? Is this a mercy you can live with? Can you let Christ reach into your ditch to save you? His hand is extended. Will you take it? Amen.